Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new episode of Flesh Wound Farce, where we review and discuss your and our favorite comedy films. This is the world's first and only combination trivia host and professional wrestling announcer of Chilean descent that currently resides in Southern California, Ozzy V. And with me as always on this program, first in the Northern Bay Area, world famous juggler, Greg Larson. How you doing, Greg?
Man, Ozzy, I'm still hurting from the laughing of last week. But other than that, I'm great, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing well, alluding to the great ruse of Larson 2021. And you're sporting the Flesh Wound Farce t-shirt today.
You know it, man.
Is available where, Todd?
Well, just go to fleshwoundfeatures.com and click t-shirts.
There you go. I'm still waiting on mine. And that voice you did hear was Flesh Wound producer Todd. 99.9% of the time is chilling when he has his flash drive and his caffeine free Diet Coke. Without those, he ain't chilling. He ain't chill. I'm sorry.
And I think I lost my flash drive. So I guess I could go through my bags, but I haven't yet.
Well, that's unfortunate. Like to thank ladies and gentlemen for joining us here, whether it be on YouTube or the audio version on Spotify or wherever you enjoy your podcasts. This week, we did have the pleasure of watching, and we'll be discussing and reviewing Three Amigos. Before we jump into that, Todd, if you would do the honors and play us the trailer.
All right, here we go.
Amigos. They were the biggest stars of their day.
The Three Amigos are history.
But that was yesterday.
Look, boys, I know show business. Something always turns up. Telegram for the Three Amigos.
I like this guy. They are funny guys. Just kill one of them.
Steve Martin. Chevy Chase.
Do you have anything besides Mexican food?
Martin Short. The Three Amigos.
Throw down your gun! Not you, Dusty! Sorry!
We are so brave.
Whoa, horsey!
Three Amigos.
I'll come back one day.
Why?
Oh man,
I see people dancing. I see people doing the Three Amigos salute. I see people laughing.
Greg was doing the salute. I'm over here like going side to side laughing, you know, holding my head because it's like these short pains.
We're gonna have to switch it so we're reacting as the trailer play.
Yeah, because I mean, like, I don't know, like seeing people usually see a trailer so.
Unless we're so watching far the
before the movie.
Trailer.
Right. Well, okay. But anyway, but everything being so fresh, it's like, I don't know. It's almost like everything hits just as it did when you saw it. It was great. Anyhow, if you're unfamiliar with this film, rated PG, released in 1986 on December 12th with a runtime of an hour and 44 minutes. Director, Todd, it's your favorite director, John Landis.
We do a lot of Landis movies.
Listen, things just happen. Things just happen this way, okay?
I actually like his movies, despite the fact he killed two people on set. I mean, other than that. And I still like Twilight Zone the movie. Go figure.
There you go. Anyhow, we also have writing credits by Steve Martin, Lorne Michaels, and Randy Newman. Now, here's what I couldn't find any confirmation on this, but all the songs were Randy Newman. it, yeah, it makes total sense. So I'm curious if, because there were so many songs used, they just gave him writing credit.
I guess, that makes sense. I mean, sometimes like in a musical, they'll do songs and music by.
Right.
But yeah,
you're probably right. This film had, of course, as you heard, Steve Martin, Chevy Chase, Martin Short. But in addition, you also had some cameos early on. Actually, before I jump into the cameos, I'm actually just going to go over the synopsis real quick, and then I'll get to your guys' initial thoughts, as I selfishly was about to skip that. So my apologies. Synopsis from IMDb reads, three actors accept an invitation to a Mexican village to perform their on-screen bandit fighter roles, unaware it's a real thing. So I went over mine. I mean, like, I've always loved this movie. Some things now, as watching it at this age, hit much better than they did at any other. Greg?
So I had a lot of fun with this movie. I'm going to save a little bit for talking about it a little later, but I do have a complaint and a conspiracy theory.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yes. Wow. Yeah. But okay. I enjoyed it thoroughly. This is a fun movie.
Todd?
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I love this film. I used to watch it all the time. It was in heavy rotation back in early 80s.
I think
I still own the VHS tape, which I should have pulled out to show. I did not watch it on VHS.
Well, Todd, we know you're not great at pulling out. There's three examples of this case.
Hi-o.
Whoa, you're going to get my wife upset. Whoa. You said three. There's okay. One example of this case. Jesus. Don't talk about off-air stuff.
My bad. Anyhow, what I appreciated most about this is the writing and the setup and the placement of things from the very, very beginning. Also, I don't know if you guys caught the name of the cantina that it where first part movie takes place was labeled as Cantina del Borracho, which translates to the drunk cantina. Or the Cantina of the Drunks.
Oh, nice.
Now,
sounds like a good place to drink.
Precisely. In terms of my favorite, it wasn't necessarily a favorite line, but when I look back in it, in terms of how hard I laughed, it was the entire Buttercup scene, primarily because of the setup. Like, these guys are afraid for their lives that they have to sing along or these guys will kill. Like, that was just such a, like, did you see them? We killed it in there. Like, oh my gosh. Like, and I guess just because a nice, like, end off to that, like, it was like the perfect timing is when the plane flies over and Ned tries to give that joke. Like, oh, that's a mail plane. I can tell because the little balls.
And the other two don't get it. That's what sells it.
Just explain it. He explains it to Lucky, but then Dusty still doesn't get it, but he just laughs along anyway. Like, it's the kind of chemistry between these guys that really made this successful. And you could tell, we'll get into the, there's a behind the scenes interview. That was only like a 5-minute thing on the Blu-ray that, between the, I mean, you could tell the kind of chemistry they had. That must have been a blast to be on the set at for these days.
There is actually in the Blu-ray, I believe it was from Premiere Magazine, if they're still even around. There is a little booklet of like a press interview.
Got it. Right. Now, Greg, how about your favorite line or, I guess, scene?
Well, I mean, my favorite line was, of course, that male plane bit. I mean, a bad pun. That's, man, that's a strike right up the alley, let me tell you. I figured I'd have to have some alternatives because I, you know, that one I saw is definitely going. There's a moment with Chevy Chase, I believe it was, and he's flirting with a lady and she goes, would you like to kiss me on the veranda? And he goes, lips will be fine. I lost it. I was just like, man, this is too good. Too many great jokes in that. And there were a lot of runners up. So, but I don't want to take them all. So yeah.
I got two too. So I'll do one and then see what else everyone has. One of them I'm pretty safe. No one picked. The part that had me dying, or does Ozzy already know one of them?
I'm pretty sure.
Well, you could say it after I say mine. Well, the plethora of pinatas part. I was dying.
Okay, so I have to bring this up because during that scene, then they mentioned plethora a lot, you know. And in my old sign language class, my sign language teacher, he was obsessed with using the word plethora, and he told us how much he loved that word. So after 20 years of being out of his class, I messaged him on Facebook and was like, hey, there's a day you were obsessed with plethora. Was this because of Three Amigos? And he goes, actually, it was a college thing that me and my friends always said, and we love that word, but you have a weird mind that you bring that up 20 years later.
Just be like, I had a plethora of time.
Plethora of seconds.
Speaking of seconds, Ozzy, what do you think my second favorite line was?
You just go ahead and say it.
Okay, well, tell me if I'm right or wrong. It's when Dusty mentions that they raped the horses and rode the women.
I said, rape the horses. No, but I wrote that down. I wrote that down. Yeah, I'm just gonna guess.
But it doesn't work with that and rode the women. That's what that's
right.
The first half it didn't have me. It's the second half I was dying.
I just wanted to write the first part down because we raped the women and rode the horses. It was like, and.
My honorable mention has to be the it's a sweater. All the things. Oh God, this movie was great.
And when then when they find out it's real, their reaction is just hysterical. we don't shoot women. We only shoot men.
I think it we'd be remiss if we did not mention the lip balm line. Going through the desert and the water, that's like feels like such a classic gag. But this movie is just absolutely, I feel perfect.
And with the three leads, but who doesn't get credit? Which one of my favorite things was El Guapo. He's Alfonso Aru. He is hysterical in this, and he has so many just little gems in there.
He plays a real good villain.
He does.
And absolutely, so there's a style of theater out there called Commedia dell'arte. And in that, there's a standard character who's the goofy villain known as Il Capitano. And this guy is that specific comedic villain to a T. And you're right. You can't have a good movie without a good villain, to be honest. You don't have a good antagonist, you're done.
Yeah.
So
money's in the chase.
Like I said, there's no way you could give this less than a five. So it's a five from me. Greg?
I just want to go into two things real quick. First off, my complaint. It's not even really about
the movie. Am I going to have to argue you?
No. You're not going to argue. It's because it's not about the movie itself. But we watched it with subtitles. And it angers me. And I don't know if it angers anybody else. When you get subtitles and the Spanish lines say speaking Spanish, what the hell? Like, translate it. Come on, man. Do the Spanish subtitles say three quarters of the film speaking English? I don't think so.
And you know what? To be fair, I mean, we're kind of spoiled in a sense because I know specifically in Assassin's Creed, when they were in Italy, you had the subtitles on. It would say English. Whenever they would say anything in Italian, you got to see what the English meaning was.
Right.
And that's how I knew what Una Fortuna is and Resco et Gatum Pace, so
exactly.
We're just spoiled, but it's Warner Brothers and they don't want to make money apparently. So
HBO. Yeah. Well, you're right. HBO.
There you go. Yeah, exactly.
But
God. I just realized you didn't even give your rating.
Yeah, no, and I'll save my conspiracy theory for a final thought, but you got to give it a five. Like, there's no way. Like, this is a comedy trio of amazingness with Lorne Michaels, and come on now. So, hands down a five.
Early Lorne Michaels.
Yeah.
All right. I don't want to know where it went south for you, but well, I'm going to not be the turd in the punch bowl. It's a 5 for me too.
Yes, it is, of course.
Not even close. Like no other thought went through my head.
Absolutely. It is such a classic that has got to be seen and just really good stuff. Now, some of these deleted scenes, which was unfortunate. Now, I will say, actually, I did have a photo of this on the Blu-ray. It mentions a series of deleted scenes. Now, some of the scenes that were lost featured Sam Kinison. I'm going to read this. As it comes up in the beginning, it says, in almost every motion picture ever made, and this is from John Landis, in almost every motion picture ever made, there are scenes shot that end up being cut from the finished film.
With murdered people. Sorry, I had to get it in there.
In Three Amigos, the entire subplot of the rivalry between the Amigos and Miss Renee, played by Fran Drescher, was eventually cut from the picture, and a lengthy sequence from Sam Kinison as a Cannibal Mountain Man was also removed. For this new Blu-ray edition, I was asked by HBO if there was any footage that could be added as bonus material. After some research, I learned that the outs and trims were trashed in the late 80s. So much of the footage is lost, including Sam Kinison's scenes and most of Fran Drescher's. However, and then this is where he... However, we found a 35mm print that had been prepared for exhibitor screenings before they had locked the picture with temporary dub music and sound effects. Most, but not all of Miss Renee is here, along with the deleted opening of the movie in Santa Poco. So here is even more of the Three Amigos. That's a written letter from John Landis before these deleted scenes start. What I really enjoyed about that particular, the way they set it up is... they set it up just like a silent movie where they explain the scene and then it shows. And then just like, I think it was like 5 or 6 deleted scenes, but mostly the ones of note was the Fran Drescher and the Miss Renee. Like, and that was hilarious, especially, I'm not sure if you guys caught the deleted scenes, Todd. I'm pretty sure you did.
Yeah, I watched them.
Oh yeah.
So the Phil Hartman gag with the phone, it was just more extended. So when you got to see what made it into the theatrical cut, that was actually a funnier moment from Phil Hartman, rest in peace. Same goes for John Lovitz to see. And you have Joe Mantega talking about streamlining it. It was really fun, but I can see why it was cut out, because they try to make comedies as close to 90 minutes as they can, but it was unfortunate. Like, cause it was all good. Usually there's a lot of deleted scenes where, okay, yeah, I understand why they cut this out, but that in particular, having the Fran Drescher one, I can imagine Sam Kinison, all that must have been over 2 hours. Had to have been at least.
Well, you know, it's funny. You mentioned the comedy being should be about 90 minutes, but it seems like all of Landis's other pictures are right around 2 hours, if not longer.
Right, but you think about it. So, I mean, this, what was in the deleted scene was about 20 minutes of these extra deleted scenes, right?
And not even everything.
Right, and also featured, so the opening in Santa Poco where you actually saw El Guapo come in and say, I'll be back at the next full moon. That's how they know he's coming back. Because you notice Carmen says he's going to be back at this time. How does she know? That's how she knew. But, you know, stuff happens. But I can imagine scenes with Kinison, scenes with Fran Drescher must have put it like 2.5 hours. Easy. Because it's already an hour and 45 minutes. I mean, this mentions that it's a lengthy scene with Kinison. Had to be like at least 10. I mean, remember, they're going through, they have these set of instructions to see the singing bush, which, by the way, was all Randy Newman singing those songs, by the way.
Awesome.
And it was after they got the singing bush and they did the chant. And I'm just curious to know if when they were handing each other around, because they had a notepad, that's we have to do the chant and fire a shot in the air. So each one, they do a chant, starting with Ned and then Lucky and then Dusty. And I'm curious if they just handed the notepad around and just said whatever came to mind at that point, because Martin Short's chant was very specific to Martin Short, what he's done. And same, I don't know if that's Steve Martin, but Chevy Chase was the same. you know, like it, which he does this kind of facial expression where noise comes out of his mouth. It's very funny. Anyhow, I can imagine everything all put together probably would have been closer to 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So that's my guess on that. But still,
I'd still like to see that cut, though.
No, let's not get the Landis cut trending.
Well, no, because I can't even get Ozzy to watch the Super Mario cut.
Okay, that is not happening.
Okay, you know what?
You'll have to tie me down Clockwork Orange style to get me to watch that.
What about for the Patreons?
That's going to be like, no, listen, I'll do it, but it has to be at a $20 level for a month. Because okay. I want to get some real money for watching that piece of crap.
Can we do a
I'm not kidding.
Double Dragon.
I'm not even kidding. And then why don't we throw stupid Street Fighter in? You know what? Actually, I just got an idea. But we're just going to discuss this later. We shouldn't have this discussion here. Think about it. Actually, I'm going to write this down. But you guys have any final thoughts on this film? I'm going to let you guys talk about that while I write something.
Yeah, I definitely have my conspiracy theory. So there's a scene in this movie in which Chevy Chase is playing guitar and singing horribly. and there's this old woman who's sitting next to him that gives him this very judgmental look when he sings.
Okay, right.
I have a feeling that woman cursed Chevy Chase so that every year that Martin Short and Steve Martin aged, it actually went on to Chevy Chase, looking at how they all look now. I'm pretty sure that's how it worked.
Wow. I'm pretty sure that's not the only curse he's had placed on.
That's a fair point. My eighth grade U.S. history teacher told me something interesting about Chevy Chase. He says Chevy Chase was known, and there's also a meeting, or not a meeting, an interview between the three of these, Steve Martin, Chevy Chase, and Martin Short, as for promotional features. So it's a quick 5-minute thing as an extra feature on the Blu-ray. And there's a gag where Martin turns. He says, "You like to use props and you like to fall," you know, referencing Chevy Chase on Saturday Night Live, who would portray Gerald Ford falling all these times. Right now, because he fell so many times as Gerald Ford, he got, he was prescribed painkillers and he got addicted to the painkillers. So he needed to check into the Betty Ford Center for playing Gerald Ford. It circled back to the Betty Ford Center.
That's funny.
Yep. Good old Mr. Wallace. Anyhow, so in terms of so Greg, you had some final thoughts. Todd, did you give yours?
I know. I grew up this picture. It holds up well. The comedy's timeless. It was a period piece then. It's a period piece now. So it's just funny.
I completely agree. I can't say anything better about this movie. It's one of my favorites. Now, we will be back next week with a new episode. Of course, being able to join us on YouTube or wherever you enjoy your podcast is always a plus. And we're going to be watching and reviewing, discussing One Crazy Summer, as beginning of summer is officially this week. So it'll be the first day of summer, first Monday of summer, rather. So One Crazy Summer's one of my favorites from my early childhood. So I'll be glad to revisit that and review it and discuss it with you guys. Any final thoughts about anything else before we leave?
Excited to go over this next week. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Me as well. Producer Todd.
Good night.
That's all. Or good morning. Good day. Whenever you're listening to this.
Salutations.
I mean, we air at 6 p.m. Monday night, 6-7-ish. Monday evenings. Monday evenings. So if you're not live, have a good blank, enter whatever period of day you are entering. How about that?
Enter the blank.
Okay. I think we should have just ended with what I was saying.
Yeah. You want the last word.
Yeah, I kind of do.